Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
Giles.
All right, is this Felix from Divorce, recently shared new single Gears and announced 2 headline shows in Nottingham's Bodega and your biggest UK headliner, London's Islington Assembly Hall?
Yes, that is Felix speaking. I'm sat in my car and my phone connected to my Bluetooth for a second. So for a second, you started coming out of the speakers on that. And it was crazy.
Cool. Wow, it's like the proper car test.
It was like, I felt the bass. I've got massive subs in my car. I've got one of those modded cars with, like, my boot is full of subs.
Yes.
And it was, like, making my teeth shake.
Yeah, awesome.
When you said that stuff. So
what happens when you're in a jam? Like, do you turn the music up or do you turn the music down?
I don't have a way of turning it down. I can only turn it up. It's just been getting louder and louder over the last few years, which is fine because my hearing's been getting worse and worse. So some people say it's unbearable being in the car with me, but it's fine for me. I don't have like a back massager or anything because it's like I'm constantly vibrating. So I'm very loose.
So tell me, what was the most awkward scenario you've been in between band and work?
Between band and work, it's hard to think of one. But
a general sense of shame.
Yeah, general sense of shame. Awkward scenarios, like scenario last night at a show where, so I was playing and I was clearly rocking so hard that my strap of my guitar just pinged off. Oh. And then I was really trying to go for it, but then it's quite hard to do that and look cool. Like, I was kind of hunched over the guitar. Mm. Like, I had to put my leg up on the... Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was quite awkward. There's always awkward, like, poo stories as well, like needing to go to the loo, and there's maybe not one in the green room.
Yes.
Or like wee stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I used to do a lot of like smaller shows, like quite DIY shows, I'd always kind of hate the moment that you'd go for a wee just before your set. Mm-hmm. And you'd be like stood at a urinal between two other men, and then you go out on stage and then they're watching you. And in the back of your mind, it's like, did they see my willy? I once got started on at the George Tavern by a couple of tradies who were like enjoying a pint, and I probably should have just left them alone. But I was on a really DIY tour with my mate Logan, and we were trying to, we'd sold like no tickets, man. And I think it was like a fiver. And I was like, oh, hey, if you're going to stick around and enjoy the gig, would you like maybe pay a ticket price? They were like, they kind of laughed me away. And I was like, okay, cool. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. And then I went and stood at the bar, and one of them came up to me during Larkin's set. One of them came up to me and he got me in a headlock.
Oh,
I couldn't really breathe.
Oh,
no one seemed to notice around me. No one noticed. So no one was doing anything to intervene.
Okay.
But he just held me there. It was almost tender, but it hurt a lot.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, no, it was all right. It was okay. I went on stage and I was maybe a little bit cheeky about it. I was like, oh, thanks to everyone who's paid to be here. Anyway, I played the set, and as soon as I finished the set, I went to the loo thinking like, ah, fuck, they're he's going to come for me now.
Yeah, they're going to get you.
Because maybe I've riled them up on stage. And I came out of the loo, and he was literally stood in the doorway. You know the toilets at the George Tavern?
Uh-huh. Small doorway.
And, small doorway. You can't get around. And he was a big guy. You can't get around him. And he just gave me a £20 note, and he was like, sorry, I was quite rude.
Oh.
And then he bought me a Blue Moon.
With orange in top?
Yeah, with an orange in the top. And then we had a drink together. It was quite nice. So it was like a full like redemption arc there.
Yeah, that's a twist. That's more of a twist than you'd find in an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
That is really nice. You know, often we can't help it, but when we see people play, we have this innate admiration and respect for people on playing on stage. Whereas really on the other side of the fence, I feel like playing music is one giant game of waking up, facing humility, and then doing it all over again the next day.
Yeah, well, it's always, there's a fine line, I think, between whether they were like, you know, can't help but respect the guy, or they were like, oh, there's fuck all people here, and they're trying hard. Take my hat off to them.
What about work? I mean, there's so many times that you're going to be late for sound check, I imagine, and times you have to kind of, stretch the truth. What's a moment, a memory where you've had to stretch the truth to a boss or a work scenario?
I'm not sure, because I always worked during the day, and so I never had many problems with, like, arriving to a show or anything, or, like, I've also always been kind of, I've never played loads of shows in my hometown, wherever it's been. I've always done like really stupid tours.
Yeah. You know what they say, don't play where you live.
Yeah, don't play where you live. But, you know, that can be great. But like, so I was always away for periods of time. Mm-hmm. But I remember the last job I had, kind of outing him now, but well, I'm not, it's, you know, it was just a bit tight really. The last show I had, we got some like good news as a band, and I was gardening at the time. We were sat in the van on our way back from, or like on our way to the last job of the day, and I told him this news. And for me it was quite a big deal, and he kind of just, he did. I mean, he wasn't a very expressive guy anyway. But he, I don't think he liked the way it sounded, because it sounded like I was going to be away for a bit.
Sounds familiar.
And and so he made me work like an hour and a half longer and gave me like the shittest job to do. And just like absolutely nailed me. Yeah, it was like the hottest day ever. And I was like bailing out the back of this like truck full of old musty compost and leaves.
You must have some tough hands.
And thorns. Well, I was thinking this morning. It's been a while since I've done any proper work, because I had a shower this morning. And you know when you like, you know when you got quite rough hands and you touch a towel and it kind of is really uncomfortable. And I did that and I noticed like all the calluses on my hands have like, they've started to rub away. And that's quite, for me, that makes me feel a little bit silly. Like I'm not working hard enough. So I was so proud of my calloused hands. I earned them.
It's a real sign of work. When I was younger, I was releasing a record and I wanted to do like an in-store, but you know, no one really cared or knew about me. So I went around record shops, and one record shop I went into and asked if I could play in their shop on the day of release. He said, "You play guitar?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Show me your hands." And he looked at my hands and he said, "You don't play guitar."
Oh my, whoa.
Whoa. I thought, fair enough. That's fair enough.
That's a pretty odd. I've never heard of that as a way to assess like a guitarist. Like, do you play trumpet? Show me your lips.
Yeah, seriously, chapped lips. Hey, Felix. Yeah. this show that's happening at Islington Assembly Hall, what's one thing that you hope doesn't happen on stage?
The worst thing is that I maybe had like a toilet accident on stage. I've always feared that. Sometimes I wear white trousers and I'm like, you know, I've never come close to having, but sometimes you haven't got time to go for a wee or the other thing. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, I'm wearing white trousers. That's maybe a bad idea.
I think that's the first
always
thing
in the back of my mind.
Yeah, before you even buy them, you'd be like, okay, am I sure about this?
Yeah, because it's not even like, it's not even that funny. It's just a bit gross, I think. I think most of the audience would be like, ugh. Can't even like style it out. There's nothing rock and roll about it. Mm-hmm. You know, spilling a bit of beer on your top, that's kind of rock and roll.
Very cool. I've got one last question for you here, Felix, on this 101 part-time job stop and chat. Yeah. What's one subject that you'd love to write a song about?
Different types of like cured meat.
Like biltong and...
Yeah, biltong. Like also like... is it cured? This would be a question for me. Is like, would you describe a pork pie as like being cured?
Nah, I'd say it's jellied.
No, it's jellied. It's preserved, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe I'd talk about the fact that like I thought that pork pie contained cured meat, but it doesn't. It's just jellied.
That's a good one. I thought you might say like, you know, that thing. That quite deep thing that I've never really been able to look at head on.
Like different forms of portable meat.
Yeah. Felix, I'm such a big fan. Yeah. We are all huge divorce
big fan
fans.
Of you.
You just have such a great feeling. I can't wait to see you at that London show. There's a lot of fun
stuff
happening.
Yeah, I can't wait. We're very excited.
Any final words?
Go well.
Yeah, cheers.
And look after yourself. And you're very nice. I like you.
Here we go.
Thanks for having me.
That's everyone listening. He likes you.
Yeah, I like you a lot, everyone.